council meeting for July 7th is called to order at 7 p.m. We will do the roll call, please, Jalen.
Mayor?
Mayor. Sorry. Can you say my name?
Council President Timothy Fox?
Present.
Council Vice President Sharon Briggs?
Here.
And Councilmember Kyle Cerencioni?
Present.
Deputy Clerk Sharon? Gosh, I'm losing my mind today. Town Clerk Jalen Rowley, here. Deputy Clerk Shannon Cuneo?
Here.
And we don't have the, Paul Montgomery, our engineer, is not here today. We are represented by, how do you pronounce your name? Manhattan? Okay. Is here. And Public Works Manager Charlie Jenkins?
In the flesh.
We have a forum. So we all stand for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So the first item on our agenda is public comment for any item not on the agenda. And we will start by recognizing Sharon Briggs of the council, because I knew she had a comment.
I do, and I got my handbook out, the Town of Albertson's handbook, members of the council. And on the second page, it has on there that while the council is in session, the members must preserve order and decorum. A member shall not delay or interrupt the proceedings or the peace of the council, nor disturb any member while speaking or refuse to obey the orders of the council or its presiding officer. Any person making personal, impertinent, or slanderous remarks, or who shall become boisterous or disruptive during the council meeting, shall be forthwith barred from further presentation to the council by the presiding officer, unless permission to continue is granted by the majority vote of the council. Well, the reason why I bring this up was because at the last council meeting, I was not here for the council meeting. I was at the tail end. And it's been eating at me for a month. The disrespectful comments to Bob about not being part of this community really hit home with me, and it really bothered me. I was about in tears. Anyway, and the disrespect for Jalen, Shannon, and the mayor. And they're only trying to ensure that our town is a safe place to live. And we, as council members, have to do our due diligence and listen to our community members. That's everyone. Everyone. Bob may not live here, but his family does, and owns a business here, just like several other people. Everyone has a right to voice their opinions and deserve respect. Slamming fists and yelling is absolutely a sign of disrespect and should not be tolerated. And that's why I looked this up for the council members, at the council members handbook. And I just wanted to make a point that every one of us, this is our town. We, everybody, deserves respect. And yelling at each other and disrespecting somebody's opinion is not good. It's just not good. Everybody has a right to how they feel about stuff. So, anyway, that's my point, and it's been eating at me for a month. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment, Sharon.
Thank you.
Anyone else on council have a comment?
Yeah.
Hi.
I couldn't help but notice that my actions were broke in your note. You know?
I didn't mention any names.
Didn't have to. You know, some things don't get settled the most peaceful way, and things have to be discussed. And for all the constituents here, that was me that slammed my fist down, because we're having a discussion about things that pertain to the town and everyone's feelings, and I felt that they were going very one-sided. So that is what set me, and that's why that happened.
So public comment and conversation is two different things. So we're at public comment. So member of the public, Chris, I recognize
you. So are we all allowed to slam our hands down and yield, like councilman's example? Because if the council is leading by example, the example they're leading by is if you get passionate or upset, you can slam your hand down in an aggressive fashion to try to intimidate the rest of the crowd. I don't think that's correct. I think if you're a council member, you should be leading by example. You should be leading by example and acting how you want everybody else in this room to act. And when you don't, you give everybody else in this room the right to do it.
That's why
we have this. Because everybody has to be reminded to behave like children. Why? Because of actions like that.
Several times you hear yell like that.
Order,
several times.
Order.
And I didn't yell.
Order. So thank you for your comment, Chris. Does anyone else from the community have a comment? I don't know your name, sir.
Good evening. My name is David. I'm a resident of Alberton. I'm here tonight because I'm concerned. If anyone would like to pass these around, it would be awesome. I'm here tonight because I'm concerned not about bears, but about the principle of how we're being governed. We elected a new mayor because the previous administration failed to move this town forward. We wanted progress, not a pendulum swinging to the opposite extreme. Now we're seeing mandates handed down as though this town is an HOA rather than the free rural community we all choose to live in. Specifically, I'm talking about the push to mandate bear-proof trash cans. The garbage service in this town is not private, or is private. The town does not run it. Is not contracted and not be in the business of forcing residents to acquire specific equipment from any entity. The town got a grant to pay for the cans, so the cost is supposedly covered indefinitely. But here's what nobody's talking about. Our garbage man now has to physically handle every single can whose locking mechanism does not work. And from what I'm seeing, that's a lot of them. That means longer routes, more labor, and a very real chance our base rates go up. So this free mandate will likely land right back in our wallets. Now, here's what many residents don't know. The organization promoting this, Bear Smart Montana, or whatever it's called, is a for-profit entity, and the mayor sits on its board. So does a council member, and so does Bob Summerfield, who owns Grovall Orchard, the single greatest bear attractant in the town. That's three people with direct financial or personal interest in an organization using their town position to promote and mandate that organization's agenda. That is a textbook conflict of interest. Whether the trash cans themselves are a good idea is a separate conversation. What's not up for debate is that elected officials should not be leveraging their authority to benefit or for-profit group they personally belong to. That's not public service, that's self-dealing with the town's seal on it. This community values its independence. We live here because we don't want to be told what to do, what to buy, or how to live, let alone what kind of trash cans we have to have. If people wanted mandates and HOAs, we'd move to Missoula. But we don't, we live here. I'm asking the council to do two things first. Disclose publicly right now the financial structure of the Bear Group and any compensation or benefit board members receive. Second, table any ordinance that mandates private purchases through a group your own members have a stake in. Alberton deserves leadership that serves the people, not personal interests.
Thank you, David. If the council didn't receive a copy of that...
Well, it's getting passed around.
The council doesn't have a copy. And would you provide your copy to the clerk at least? So that the copy
I have one copy of my comment, and my little pamphlet is being passed around the blood.
Is that what you just read?
It is not.
May we have a copy of what
you read?
Would
you like to take a picture of this? You can.
Please provide it to the clerk.
She can take a picture of this. She'd like to.
Thank you.
This
if you would, please provide it to the clerk. You had a comment back here, and I'm sorry, I don't remember your name.
My name is Ryan Larry. I'm from the book here in Alberton.
Thank you, Ryan.
Back on that is a lot of with this bear thing, there's two things I noticed. One, yes, the garbage man has to physically go and open it. Because the truck, when it goes to dump them, it won't open, the garbage can won't open. So his choices are leave the bee or to actually go, and I've seen him walking the streets, unlocking everything so that he could go and dump them. So it's a dinner on him, like that, but I know multiple people, including my wife, that can't open the damn thing. And they're not, and I've gone up and some of them, yeah, there's a couple of them that were easy to open, but some of them you can't. If you have problems with your hand, you're screwed. So you have to go find somebody else. Now I understand that we can call Republic to come pick it up and give us a regular can. And if that's true, then great. The other thing that really, when I got my bill, my last bill, and it was told that it was not going to go up, I understand the fuel charge. Fuel charge going up, I understand that with fuel expenses. But the regular charge, just to have it, went up. And I about went through. We were told that our price was not going to go up. Members of this Bear Aware that are on the council told us specifically, your bill will not go up. And it feels like a slap in the face when I'm told my bill will not increase. And then all of a sudden I look at my bill and I'm like, holy crap. So fuel charge, I understand. The regular charge for that can going up. I'm going to call Republic to get that pile of crap out of my house and give me a different can and reduce my cost. Because I'm not going to pay extra for any of that. If my wife can't open it, what's the point? If my son's not home, you know, if he's not home, then she can't open it. And there's other people in this community that I'm sure have the same problems. I just think that it was, it should have been something that the community could have voted on or something. I understand protecting from bears and all that, but there's a simpler solution. I've been doing it all the years that I've lived here, for the last 10 years. I've never had a bear touch my can. Just spraying some bleach on the outside of it, and once a week, never have any problems. But this can thing, right now, as far as I hear, I haven't heard one good thing about it. And I would like, that's just back on what David was saying. You know, it's not fair to the driver of the garbage truck to have to get out and walk on the streets to unmatch and open every single one. You know, and I even said it a couple months ago, the last meeting I was able to attend, that the driver of the Republic had already told us he don't work. I have to get out and do this. We knew about it. And I even brought it up at that meeting. But it was, I guess it just went. But if Republic will reduce my cost and to come get this junk out of my yard, then I'm going to be able to call and see what they say. Because I don't, I'd rather have just a regular garbage can. I'll go out with cheap bleach once a week, spray it down, and then I don't have problems with bears. That's just my opinion.
Thank you for your comment, Ryan. And just to be clear, this is an opportunity for public comment for items that are not on the agenda. Does anyone else have a comment?
Yeah, I've got one, if anyone doesn't need to go. It seems like trash is the topic of discussion tonight, because that's something I was wanting to discuss as well, or at least comment on. For those of you who don't know, I live in town, and ever since I moved to town a few years ago, which is not as long as some of you, but it is long enough to make me feel like I belong and like I care, there's been some tension around trash cans on the street that I live in. Specifically, there's been harassment, cans getting kicked over, pieces of trash have been taken and thrown in my yard. In the first year I moved here, my frost-free spigot was opened and my trash placed underneath it in December. We never figured out who would do these things, and then, but it's been a sore point. And this last week, I actually witnessed the mayor taking people's trash cans back to their houses on the night before trash pickup morning. With an individual on my street who has vocally to some of our neighbors
expressed his displeasure with trash cans being out and about, with the specific reasoning that it was bear attracting. Well, now we have these bear trash cans, and I really don't think that he has any leg to stand on. Nor do I think that it was right that the mayor would be out there taking people's trash cans back to their houses for this person. So I just wanted to bring that to the mayor's attention and the public, because it seems like this is an issue that reaches far beyond just like a bare trash can. So that's what I wanted to say.
Thank you for your comment. Chairman.
I'll make a little comment. And I'll make it on the bear. We didn't choose the bear, this administration. Well, Loreen, Jalen, and I are new enough that Alberton decided it wanted to be a bear smart community with the last mayor. And it got voted in.
It can get voted out.
Right, but I'm telling you, it got voted in. So it's not like this is something new and that we're bringing this up. It got voted in, and that's why we're moving forward with it. I just wanted to put that out there.
Thank you. So, does anyone else have public comment? I just would like to point out, because there were a number of public comments that were regarding the trash cans and the bear issue, as some people were referring to it as, please come to the Bear Smart Group meeting that will be the last Thursday of this month, where you can talk to the group of people who is taking responsibility for this project. And you can speak to them directly with your concerns, your comments, and then be able to have a discussion or whatever they choose to do. So.
What was that date?
It's the last Thursday of this month, and I don't know the date offhand. But it's always the last Thursday of the month that the Bear Smart Group is meeting.
Do the 30th.
Thank you. I appreciate whoever looked that up. Thank you. Did I see somebody else raise their hand?
That was me.
Did you want to say something, Reese?
I just wanted to make sure I'm there as a town maintenance guy. I want to know what's going on with the bear cans.
Wonderful.
Because I'm also concerned myself.
Okay.
Thank you.
And that meeting takes place here in this room, or in that room if there's something else happening in this room. Is that date correct, Connie? Is that date correct?
30th?
Yes.
And it's the last Thursday.
It is.
6 o'clock.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, sir. And you're Herman.
No.
I'm sorry.
We're on 3rd Street, and I take several of my neighbors' cans down there. I bring them up, and they are quite a bit heavier, but it looks like the wheels are starting to come off of them already. Are we required to pay maintenance on them, or is it?
I can't answer your question, sir, but I would encourage you to attend a meeting at the end of the month and ask the group that ordered them, and then you would be able to get an answer there, or at least talk to someone who can get you an answer if it's not able to be given that evening. So it's not under the town's jurisdiction. We voted to become a very smart community, and that's what we're moving toward, following their plan. So if you'd like to know more about that, I know that there are some there, but sign-in sheet, if you'd like to read the Human Bear Conflict Management Plan for Alberton, Montana area. That's what's being proposed. So we might want to go on in that document.
Karen? I have three comments and clarification. We did not vote to become a Bear Smart community. We passed a resolution promoting the Bear Smart Plan. That's two completely different issues. That would be like me saying, I promote being faithful in a marriage versus I am abiding by the marriage vows. Those are two different things. We are promoting the Bear Smart Plan, but we do not adopt it. We passed a resolution saying we are promoting it. Number two, I am really grateful that Charlie came to the bookstore yesterday because he brought a paper that showed that I had an 8 gallon per hour leak as of last week. That translates to 200 gallons a day, which would be 6,000 a month, but Charlie caught it. pretty quickly, came by the bookstore, said, what do you think it is? We brainstormed, looked around, went out in the backyard, there was a hose with a spray nozzle on it, and the frost free was on, but the nozzle was off, but that frost free was leaking 8 gallons an hour into the ground. So thank you, Charlie, for thank you very much for the new technology that catches leaks, because that's a huge My third comment has to do with replacing a city council member. We only have 3 members here. Marvin resigned April 14th. Montana Code Annotated says we will replace that council member within 30 days, and that comes under the jurisdiction of the mayor to make sure that gets done. That should have happened May 14th. It did not happen, and you told the town, well, it's not like we're going to be arrested for not doing it. That didn't sit right with me, because that tells the community that they're not so concerned about abiding by the law, that you're telling all of us we better abide by the law. That's talking out of both sides of my mouth, and that doesn't sit right with the town. So now we've been 90 days, nearly 90 days, next week, Tuesday, I think it'll be 90 days without a replacement council person. That should have happened. And if you look on the agenda tonight, there are 2 items on here. One has to do with Juneteenth as a holiday. Go ahead and do that. And Montana has 11 holidays. The feds have 11. The only different holiday we have, a federal election holiday. The feds have Juneteenth. Go ahead and add it. But then you add all this discussion about holiday stuff, and it's in your packet that you get when you become a city council and employee of the town. It's right in there. It's in your paperwork. I've got it in my bag. It's printed. It's on the internet. So for something that's already in the paperwork for the town, you're going to use that by the town to get our time, and then they're going to complain that you don't have time to replace the council member. I don't think that's a fair treatment of people in this town, and that's what I have to say.
Thank you for your comment. One of the items that was approved at last month's meeting, I'm guessing we have no further public comment.
Actually, really quickly, yes. Connie Hart and I am part of the Dare Smart Alberton group. Just a couple quick clarifications. We are not a 501c3 nonprofit, but we are a not-for-profit organization. There's no profit being made. So I just wanted to make that clarification. We are pursuing 501c3 nonprofit status at this time. We do not have it, but we are a not-for-profit group. So just wanted to clarify. Second thing, if those cans now are the property of Republic Services, if you are having an issue with your can, or you don't want your can, or you're being charged more, please contact them. You should not be being charged more because it's a bear-resistant can. So please contact them. The cans are their property. They will replace them. We know that there are issues with the latches. They are going to probably be replacing the Toter cans with Kodiak cans at some point, which should have a better latching mechanism. These cans were recommended. We just did best practice. Really sorry that there were complications. We're trying to work through that. So there's information here. If people would like more information, there's more information coming in a publication we'll have next month. If you want more information, please feel free to contact any of the group members. We'll get you more information. We'd love to share. There's nothing that's being covered or given or hidden agendas. So just wanted to share that information.
Thank you for your comment. Comment?
Question.
Can I make a comment about that?
No, I want to make a comment on it. I took offense to him saying that we're getting compensated. You and I are getting compensated. Or any of us in the bar, in the...
I asked to disclose any potential compensation. I didn't say we're getting compensated.
Okay, well, I took offense to it. So, just so you know. And yes, it is.
And hopefully you'll be able to come to the meeting at the end of the month. That would be great.
I do have one more thing I'd like to add, if I can. If anyone is interested, go ahead and call any other towns who have adopted these ordinances. They're not happy with them, the people of the town. You call Gardner. If it becomes a mandate,
then FWP can fine you for not having a bear-proof trash can, and I'm sure that we don't want that in this town. If we want to do it, it should be by our choice. As I said, it is private, not contracted by the town. So if you don't want to get fined down the road once this ordinance is mandated, then I would suggest you do something about it.
Yeah, moving forward on the agenda. Last month, we approved a consent agenda, and this is also the first month that the council packets went emailed to them in advance of the meeting and also was posted on the website so everybody could see what was going to be discussed and receive that information. Some items didn't get into the packet because this was the first month we did this, so we're doing our best to catch up with all that we are doing. So, as the council had a moment to review the items on the consent agenda.
Yes.
And I would entertain a motion at this time.
Call first.
We have a motion to approve the consent agenda, which includes the meeting minutes for May 19th. May 26th and June 2nd, as well as the claims and payroll for June of 2026. Do I have a second?
Seconded.
Seconded by Sharon. And Jalen, could you call the question?
Timothy?
Aye.
Sharon?
Yes.
Hud?
Yes.
Motion passes. The minutes from the three previous meetings, as well as the claims and payroll for June, are passed. Next on the agenda is a monthly report, and the first item will be the Sheriff's Office. We have Deputy Van Dauer here to give that report.
Last month there were 83 total calls for service for the town of Albuquerque. We did a total of 80 hours between the six deputies, including the sheriff and undersheriff. You guys might see, I heard there were some questions about unmarked vehicles coming from the town of Albuquerque. The sheriff and undersheriff do drive unmarked, but if you really look at it, it's a police car. You know, it may be blacked out, but it's got the spotlight and all the bumper in it. So, you guys ever have questions about that? If you see the black Ford F-150s, those are absolutely police vehicles. They are unmarked because they're admin vehicles. They don't have to be unmarked. Nothing major happened. We did receive several scam calls, one included for the town of Albuquerque. That's just the way of the nature these days. If it doesn't seem like it's legit, or they barely, not to sound offensive, speak English, it's probably not legit, okay? Call us on it, we can report it to the FBI field office in Missoula, but that's about all that we can do about it. Just don't give people your money. Once you do that, especially if they're asking for gift cards as payment, that's a red flag right there, okay? You wouldn't believe how many people have actually done $4,000 to $5,000 in gift cards and sent them to people. So, I'm sure Chief over here is gonna touch on the River's Edge. Yeah, we'll give that to you. Other than that, nothing. No major crimes, just the normal stuff. General patrols, traffic stops. If there's one DUI, it's better. You guys have any questions for us?
Point of clarification,
yes.
You said one of the calls was from the town hall. It was actually to the town hall.
Yeah, it was from one of your employees.
Yeah.
It was an email. The call to us, not.
Oh, right. Okay,
yeah.
Good that we reported it. Okay,
yeah.
I'm
yep.
Clarify that. And then you had said something about the budget?
Yeah, we cleared that.
Okay, okay, very good.
The sheriff is just wondering when he can get on the agenda to
talk about the budget.
Correct.
Very good. Thank
yes.
You. I'm glad to clarify that.
Yep. And that's all I get, unless the town has any questions for the sheriff's office. Honestly, I can't do much for the bear can issue you've got going on, but
Yeah.
Got a quick question for you. You probably can't elaborate, but we had that vehicle that was parked at exit 77, and then they moved it, and then the next day it looked like it was shot through.
Really?
Is there, yeah.
And is it 77 though?
Yeah, right here.
So that's unfortunately Missoula.
It is Missoula, okay.
I was kind of wondering what turn to get on the highway to go west.
Pazda? Yeah. That's still Missoula County, right?
It was Delaware Highway.
What's that?
Yeah, it was Delaware Highway.
Okay. Yeah, you can call Highway Patrol and ask them about it?
I have not. I was just wondering, there's something we gotta be concerned about there?
Yeah, I would call them, because if they dealt with it, it wouldn't be on our board unless they asked us for help. But if you call the Missoula office and ask for Sergeant Ward, he's the sergeant for this area out here, he can help.
But that's the cutoff of that exit, okay.
Okay.
Roger.
Any other questions? I'm gonna sit back down.
Thank you.
I appreciate you coming, Deputy.
Yep.
And let's report, we'll be from the Trash Can Arundel Fire District.
I'm in the way, I'm hindering the fire exit.
And I'll see you in a while, so thank you for coming today.
So, everyone, my name's Damian Frisby, I'm the Trash Can Fire Chief, I'm your fire chief for this area, for our district, and I just want to give you a little bit of an update on what we've been doing and where we're at for the summer. First off, don't get complacent. We got a lot of people out there right now. The spring rains were pretty amazing, just to put it bluntly and simply. But with that, we got a lot of fuel, a lot of growing grass, a lot more than I've seen in the last few years. So be careful, be ready for these warmer days to dry everything out, less humidities, less lifetime humidity recoveries, and just start getting that in mind, be ready for fire season to kick in. The national fire status is pushing us into high to extreme sometime in August. You know, that could change even in the next few weeks if we're not getting more ready. So pray for rain, and we'll take every bit we can, but just please be careful out there. And obviously, Mineral County, Mineral been burning, it's been closed. The city is a little bit different, or the town of Albertson's a little bit different. It's not covered by that border through the county. So that's something that we've been trying to talk about how to get fixed in the future. And then, of course, just right up the road, Missoula County is closed for open burning as well. I would kind of expect that we will go into some sort of restrictions maybe sometime first part of August, right in there. Day could ebb and flow depending on what our rating situation is. Here in town, we've been doing pretty well. A couple of medical calls, one fire call for the River Edge had a small fire, and no big deal. We had another fire west of here down at 64 Monomarker. That was likely electrical related, transmission line related. It happened during our last minute event, and we had some blinds go down and then fire right with it. And then just a little ways east of there, St. John River Access, excuse me, we had a small roadside start. But again, nothing.
Sorry.
or anything, but you know, keep your eyes open and just be aware, you know, of what's going on around you. Trailer chains, catalytic converters, those kind of things this time of year, errant cigarettes. Believe it or not, don't cause as much as you would think, but they do cause them. And a lot more times than not, it's that piece of metal coming off of the vehicle, whether it's brakes, catalytic converter, chains, those kind of things. So be careful and please take care of each other. We do not have our mitigation for this year, just for those who haven't been here. Our mitigation grant did not get renewed this year. The grant completely got deleted by the feds. And so we'll be trying to get our grant going again next year. And we really hope to do it. It's a very beneficial thing. That being said, please, you guys take care of your neighbors, help each other out, work on some of those fuels around those fractures, because that's how most of us get it done and take care of everybody. to council on any question.
I have one.
No questions. Thank you.
So you know I work for the Rivers Edge. I'm the maintenance guy down there. So we're having a big wedding this Saturday. Is it all right to have contained fires in our fire pits?
Absolutely. So we won't go into restrictions where that could become an issue. Let's say probably till sometime around August. But, you know, watch out for those sparks, grass around the area. Is that cheap grass is really running out of fast right now. And then, of course, the biggest threat that we deal with and what we've seen on these last two fires back at 64 in St. John was the pine needles and the nut accumulation underneath the pine and fir trees. It kind of stalled out going through grass, but it's still pretty green right now. But man, we had 50, 75 foot flame lengths coming off of one of the trees. It was pretty spectacular for this time of year. So that's your biggest threat is the pine and cheap grass.
Well, I'm not charged with maintenance too, so I got everything mowed down and watered.
We appreciate it, yeah, because we want people to have a good time. You know, I like sitting out by my campfire every chance I get. Be safe, be smart about it.
Right, thank you.
I have one question.
Yes, sir.
Is this station here, is it manned 24/7?
So I can't call it manned 24/7. Let me tell you just to elaborate on it a little bit so that you guys can understand what we do. So we have a resident firefighter program. And with that resident firefighter program, I've had kids 18 to about 20, 21 that are living in our fire stations, including this one, and then our main station in Frenchtown, and then up at the Y. They live there, and they run two shifts per week. So we have three different shifts that we run, so they end up getting two per week of 48-hour shifts. On top of that, they are going to school, getting their college degree, getting their firefighter one, getting their EMT, and they're responding out to your community for calls after hours. We have a really amazing group out there, and that's one of the biggest prides of my department and our community should be, because these kids are just rocking it. They're coming in at all hours of the day and night. They're coming in working overtime for free, okay, because they're resident volunteers. So they are working all these hours, they're working the shift, they're getting their firefighter, they're going to school, and they're coming out after hours and doing stuff. So I can't say it's staffed 24/7, because there could be some times where we don't have somebody there. They might all be at the station one, they might be on call, those kind of things. But we do have quite a few kids living out here, and so our coverage is really doing well out here.
Yeah, the reason I was asking is just because, you know, if there's something, if it does happen in town, and also, you know, how long is it going to take?
It could take 30 seconds, it could take 12 minutes, okay? I don't try to blow any smoke up people's butt. Inevitably, when you call, that's when we're somewhere else on another call, or they're all in, running the shift at the main station. Now, as we progress and we get more of these kids, they're certified firefighter one, EMT, they're going to be coming out here to pull their shift. And that's going to be starting here pretty soon. And then up at station seven at the Y. So we will have potentially three, we call it manned, staff stations every couple of days pretty much. And then like on the fourth, we had, I had so many kids I couldn't even count. It was phenomenal. It was really phenomenal and you know, just a really neat thing. So we're trying to make sure we cover those bigger days, higher fire danger, red flag days, those kind of things. We're going to really be working to cover those days especially.
Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a great night. Thank you so very much.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you. And thank you for the good questions.
Yes.
This is what we're here for.
Yes, please. We appreciate it. So let me know if anybody needs anything.
Thank you. County planner is next on the list, and I see that our county planner is not here. And I also know that our town engineer is not here. But Charlie, are you going to do the engineer's report?
Sure. So Paul Montgomery could not be in attendance. My name is Charlie. Paul's always really great. He gives us a little update. Not a lot has changed. This is basically wrapping up the water project that we put in. So he first talks about the funding status that Anderson Montgomery submitted an invoice on 6/12, and it triggered funding package number 21. In terms of funds that are still remaining, all spent out is the ARPA MAG, the ARPA Competitive, the MSEP, the RRGL, and the SRFB loan. Those are all spent. There's $26,608 left in the ARPA LFR, which was paid to the town back in 2023. There's $417 left in the SRFA forgiven loan. And there is $135,784 left in the Alberton local contribution. We're trying not to spend this. There will be one more invoice from Anderson Montgomery, likely in October, and then the grants and the loans will be closed out. In terms of the overall water distribution project, 24-25 status, there's a one-year warranty inspection that will be conducted in early September. We have a one-year warranty with RLC for all the work that they've done on the entire project. In the meantime, we'll keep RLC on the hook for repairing sinkholes, leaks, etc. And please feel free to call about if you see anything settling, any kind of big dips or anything. I know Sharon has called me and we've talked about that, and we've gotten it fixed up a couple times.
Yeah.
By her house. There's been a couple other ones. It's just compaction, and then with moisture and the ground will settle again, and we just need to compact it more and get it back up to snuff. And you know, hopefully and luckily, we have not found any kind of big leaks or anything that has caused a sinkhole. That's kind of the danger, is if there is like a sinkhole, there could be something disturbing underneath the ground, and if that is the case, you know, sinkhole could swallow your car. So if you see anything, let us know. I would appreciate that. Spring water rights. We're still in the waiting period with the DNRC to make the preliminary discussion to grant added water to the right, the public involvement process pursuant to their determination is, I think, where they are at. So what I believe is they have a period of public comment, essentially, before they grant one way or the other on that decision. And then in terms of the new storage tank, $1 million special appropriation grant application has been completed by Anderson Montgomery. He revised and resubmitted the federal assistance forms and key contract forms on the 29th day of June, reflecting comments received from the EPA. We're awaiting the green light to submit the electronic application through grants.gov after Matt Mullins reviews the next step. Matt Mullins is kind of our guy on the federal level with the EPA. He's been helping us through the whole process. In terms of wastewater, stormwater, Paul says, I will draft an engineering agreement amendment to cover planning, grant writing, administration, public involvement, and preliminary design for wastewater and stormwater improvements. I hope to have this ready for the July town council meeting, so probably likely in August. And that's what Paul has to say about that. Is there any questions about the water project, the tank, the grant, or anything wastewater, stormwater related? Okay, thank you.
For those who aren't familiar, Paul has been our water engineer of record for a number of years, and we just, through a proper procurement process, we chose then through this committee that formed, Montgomery Anderson is also the town's engineer of record for our wastewater site. So that makes it kind of convenient for us because he does know a lot about this town. So that's a good thing. The town attorney is not here this evening as well, so I don't need those reports to go to either. So moving forward, I am not going to give a report this evening. I'm going to move forward into the staff reports. Jim's first staff report.
I'm Jalen Rowley, I'm the town clerk treasurer. I just wanted to inform everybody about a few things that have been going on in the clerk's office. So first, the town does have an official new website. It is live at Alberton, Montana, both words all spelled out, .com. There is apparently still a clone site out there that if you have not cleared your cache or refreshed your browser in a while, it might still come up when you type it in. That is a known issue. We will be fixing that this week. There is also an issue with some of the emails addresses, sending back undeliverable messages. We are getting signups for, you know, when you go in and enter your email for to be updated when we have new news or, you know, announcements or whatnot. Those are coming through. Those are working correctly. But the email addresses that are on the website, there is, for some reason, their email server is having some issues, and I need to get on the phone with the website host in order to fix that. And we just haven't had time for me to sit for 2 hours on hold while they could take care of that yet. So that is also a known issue, and we will be fixing that this week as well. So the website was designed, built, and populated in-house. It took about 8 hours of office time, which at the current rate that I am paid is under $200 as a one-time cost. I don't know that you can ever buy a website for that look. So it was a nice savings for the town. There were no additional fees for the site. The website hosting was already being paid for. There was no additional fees for the domain. We already had that. And there was no additional cost for the email addresses. Those were included in that web hosting fee all along. It does include 3 new posts as of today. There are 4. There is a live community calendar. And there's also 4 meetings worth of agendas, packets, and audio recordings on the public meetings page. The recordings for the older meetings were traditionally put on a YouTube channel. They are still available on that YouTube channel, so they are still publicly posted. We will be moving those recordings or putting links to those recordings on the website, but that's a work in progress as we go. For comparison's sake, the prior website administrator billed us $1,139 over about 10 weeks after discounts and claimed that the value of their work was $1,852. And this was just to make a couple updates to the website. So we believe that moving the website in-house and managing everything in-house is going to save the town a lot of money and a lot of time. And hopefully we will be able to get posts up on the website in a more timely manner and information out to the public. So if you have not yet gone to the website and signed up with your email address and your name, please go do that. It's right on the front page. And as we start sending out official notices that are going to go out by email, it'll be easier if you've signed up with your email already and you know that that's a current email address, because we do have some lists of email addresses, but we're not 100% sure if they're current or not. So if you would just go and sign up there, then that helps us out a lot. Next item, I am now a commissioned notary as of June 4th, so the town can now handle notarizations in-house going forward. The fee for that is only $10, so if you need any kind of notarization done for any kind of private matters, you can come to the town office and we can take care of that for you. The utility account cleanup, we have been continuing with that. This office has really made some progress cleaning up utility accounts. We've collected on numerous past due accounts. We've verified prior liens with Mineral County and corrected a number of account errors. There were some accounts that were not even being charged the base rate. We have since fixed that, so everyone is being charged properly as they're supposed to. If you saw an unexpected increase in your utility bill, it may be that you have been receiving a really big discount for a while now, That was unfortunately an improper one, but we have fixed those. We've also identified meters that were not reading automatically and sending the readings to the software. So Charlie did go out and manually read those meters for us so we can keep things current and accurate in the system. So that was a great help. And we have also found, we've been cleaning up all of these accounts as much as we possibly can. And the accounts are starting to get cleaned up. They're starting to get paid. We've collected, like I said, a lot of the past due accounts, and that's really helped. So the town council gave us a mandate to start cracking down on late fees and past due penalties and whatnot, and that has proven to be really successful. We have actually collected thousands of dollars on past due accounts in the last 60 days, so we're really happy about that. We are working on an operating manual for process improvement. We've been writing an operating manual for the clerk functions. When Shannon and I both took over, there was a lack of training provided in turning everything over. It was she had to hit the ground running with basically little to no instruction and had to try and figure everything out on her own as she went. And I came in approximately a month later. And so the two of us have been trying to figure out all of the duties that are required of the clerk, and we've been trying to do it on our own, and we've been trying to write a manual for ourselves as we go. We have found some older manuals that we're, you know, piecing together information, but the office is getting far more organized and things are getting more efficient as a result. We did find out that the deadline for the agenda is not the Montana statute of 48 hours prior to the meeting. It is actually the Wednesday. Our town ordinances state that agendas will be posted the Wednesday prior to the meeting. So we did meet that deadline this last Wednesday. The agenda was posted online on the website, and every Wednesday before the meeting, you should see the agenda. We will try to have the packets posted at the same time. Those do require quite a bit more work, and unfortunately we weren't able to post those until Monday. But we are trying to get that information out to the public so you have an opportunity to read all of the package, the proposed ordinances, the resolutions, so that when you come to town council meeting and you have a comment, you have a really well-informed comment and you know exactly what's being looked at by the council. So we want you to have that information. So we're working to try and get those out sooner. We don't have a statutory requirement for when those have to be posted, the packets, I mean. But the agenda did go out on Wednesday, as the guidelines stated. So we were happy to be able to make that deadline. The rest of my report basically has to do with the monthly workload, because we want the town to have an idea of what their clerk's office does and how it functions. So the following is offered as a candid account of the monthly workload for council's consideration. For roughly 2 weeks of every month, the office is fully occupied. Utility bills are due on the 20th, and the majority of payments arrive just prior to and just after that date, producing a concentrated wave of manual posting. Because of our budget, we do not have all of the extra, very expensive software add-ons that allow for automatic posting of people's payments, for example, when they pay online. So every single payment has to be posted manually into the software. Otherwise, it would cost us $1,200 a year just for the software that does only your credit card payments automatically, not your manual ones, just your credit card ones. So we've had a hard time justifying that cost. So we still have to manually enter all of your payments. So that produces a concentrated wave of manual posting and deposit work. That surge runs directly into the month-end period. Utility billing and payroll are both issued between the 25th and the end of the month. And month-end procedures, claims processing, beginning of month procedures such as bank reconciliations, posting of prior month receipts and disbursements, the monthly financial report and claims register, payroll tax deposits and withholding remittances, and utility posting and late notices, together with the council meeting preparation that happens at the first of the month. All of that falls in the same two-week window. The office has also seen a market increase in public records requests for Freedom of Information Act requests. Fulfilling records requests within the timelines required by Montana's right to know provisions is a mandatory legal obligation. So, and the work competes directly with all of this other work. So with payroll claims and the month-end functions described. It is a growing, non-discretionary demand on an office already operating beyond its budgeted hours. The clerk treasurer carries the full scope of the office personally. In a town of this size, there are no dedicated staff among whom these functions are divided. Under Montana law and the municipal officials handbook, the clerk treasurer of a council mayor town serves simultaneously as the municipality's chief financial officer, an executive branch department head, and administrative assistant to the mayor. These duties include maintaining the accounting system and financial records, overseeing the accounting function and ensuring its accuracy, temporarily contracted to the Montana League of Cities and Towns, but remaining the clerk's responsibility, and it is intended to return in-house, billing and collecting utility fees, taking payments from residents in person, processing all claims, running payroll and remitting payroll taxes, assisting with the annual budget across numerous governmental funds, preparing the state-required annual financial report, posting notice of and preparing minutes for all council meetings, authenticating ordinances and resolutions and maintaining the ordinance book, safeguarding all town records, serving as administrative assistant to the mayor and preparing the agenda, answering resident inquiries, administering the town's website, and developing improved resident communications. The position is simultaneously operational and managerial. An additional factor has materially increased the office's clerical load. Under the prior administration, the mayor was reportedly present in the office only occasionally, and the clerk's statutory role as administrative assistant to the mayor required relatively little day-to-day support. The current mayor maintains a full-time in-office presence, which is a positive for the town's governance. But this activates the administrative assistant function in full and substantially increases the volume of clerical and administrative support the clerk provides. In effect, a statutory duty that was largely dormant is now a daily and significant part of the workload. The present arrangement depends on uncompensated assistance. During the month-end crunch, the volume of work exceeds what one person can complete in budgeted hours and basic clerical overflow, such as stuffing, stamping, and mailing utility bills and past due notices. That is currently being absorbed through additional unpaid time rather than paid staff hours. The town would have to pay for this work if it were performed under a normal arrangement. The office is running on an informal subsidy of unpaid labor that council should not rely upon going forward. Separately, the cleanup and reorganization of the office remains necessary and ongoing. These are projects, the website among them, that require time not accounted for within the clerk's regular budgeted operating hours. So the recommendation that I have for the council is, much of the strain described above stems not just from the total volume of work, but from its timing. The concentration of utility billing, payroll, month-end, and beginning-of-month procedures, and council meeting preparation into the same two-week window every month. Separating council meeting preparation from that window would meaningfully relieve the crunch at no cost to the town. The clerk treasurer therefore requests that council adopt the pending ordinance allowing the regularly scheduled council meeting date to be set by resolution rather than ordinance, and that they consider setting the meeting schedule by resolution to give the council flexibility to place the meeting on a date that does not coincide with the month-end billing and payroll workload, and to adjust that date in the future without needing to amend the ordinance every time. The ordinance is already drafted and ready for council's consideration, and this report is also intended to give council a clear picture of the office's responsibilities and workload, which the clerk treasurer expects will inform future discussion regarding appropriate staffing and compensation for the position as we head into a new budget year. Thank you very much.